tonight in the passage that we're talking about, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. We're going to be talking about achieving unity through diversity. And this passage, it has a lot there for us, and we don't have enough time to cover it. Or else, hey, we would be here for 2 hours, and none of y'all want that. So tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, there's an episode being dropped at the on our podcast, and it's going to kind of help. It's going to kind of help you with some of the information we're going to talk about tonight, I think. And so y'all make sure to tune in to that. Hey, so 2 weeks ago, by the way, I've missed y'all. Last week was fun getting to do the go and tell and everything, but I have dearly missed y'all. But hey, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the pursuit of unity and how we're to do that. And how Paul is calling us, God is calling us to walk worthy of the calling of the gospel. And one of the ways we do that is in our pursuit of unity with other believers. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And does anybody else remember, this is crowd feedback time. Does anybody remember the qualities or attributes that Paul listed that need to be a part of our life for us to pursue unity? It's literally in the verses right before verse 7. How can we pursue unity? What are some of the qualities or characteristics about our life that can help us do that? I would literally stand here just awkwardly staring. So, yes, humility, love. What else? Gentleness. There you go. Those are good. Well, tonight, Paul's pretty much going to tell us how to apply those qualities, how to make those attributes a part of our life in our pursuit of building up others, in our pursuit of ministering to other people. I want you guys to do something for me that I think is going to be pretty funny. I want you to imagine, okay? I want you to literally just get in your mind, and I don't even know what that means, but I want you to literally just imagine something for me, okay? I want to imagine that you are about to graduate high school. Some of you are about to do that. You're about to graduate high school, and you're about to go into the big boy world. And let's imagine that college is not a thing, okay? Let's imagine that you're having to go straight into the workforce, and college isn't a thing. And I want you to picture in your mind that you are going to work for a construction company. I know some of you are like, what in the world? I do not want to do that. But I want you to think of, you know, you can't go live with your parents anymore. You can't live on mommy and daddy's credit card, and you got to, you got to make your own breakfast. And some of you are like, wow, that's a tough life. I know, it's a tough life. I was there. But look, you're leaving high school, you're going into college, and you got to work for a construction company. Here, I want to tell you some of the things you're going to be doing. Sometimes you're going to help remodel houses. You know, they're going to put you at a job, and you're going to have to remodel a house. You know, you're occasionally going to have to do some plumbing. You do a lot of painting. Sometimes you have to replace some floors. And another thing that you have to do is you have to crawl in an attic or a crawl space. And some of you would love that. Some of you are like, that's awesome. I get to work with my hands. And others of you don't even know what a crawl space is. And it's okay. I was there with y'all. Trust me. And then I worked construction. It was, I don't ever want to go back and do a crawl space, and neither do you. You don't want to go into a crawl space. It's not fun. It's scary. But let's imagine you're doing some of those things. I want you to specifically think, though, literally in your brain, picture this. It's a Monday morning. It's 7:45 in the morning, and you're driving, and you're showing up at the job site. Your boss has given you a new job site, and you're showing up at it, and, you know, you've been drinking your coffee and your energy drink because you're, like, not staying awake while you're driving, and so you're just trying to get there, and you finally get there. The whole crew's there. Like, everything's good. Everybody's on time, and your boss tells you this. This is what your boss says. He says, hey, you know what we're doing today? We're going to build a pool deck. Have any of you ever built a pool deck? If somebody were to raise their hand, I'd be pretty impressed. I know that some of the elderly folks in the back have. I'm joking, y'all aren't. I'm joking. But you got to build a pool deck. Well, let me tell you, a lot of things go into building a pool deck. You got to tear down the old one. You got to go get the materials for the new one, and you got to sort out a bunch of individual jobs. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that go into that. And for those of you who don't know, being a part of a construction crew involves a lot of different roles. For instance, let me put it like this. You got the go-getter guy. That's the guy that goes and gets the materials, you know, from Home Depot, Lowe's, something like that. In this area, Lowe's, because you don't have Home Depot. It's okay. I like Home Depot better. But you got the guy that goes and does that. You got the guy that measures out all the boards. You got the guy that is good with the saw and he cuts the boards. And you know, you all have these individual roles because you're trying to accomplish building this pool deck. But the key to this whole process is that each person, hear me out. This is the key to the whole process. Each of you that are now working in the workforce, that are working for this construction company, you have to do your individual part. Each of you has to do his role. Like if the go-getter, like if it's like, hey, go get wood, and you're like, I'm going to get metal. That's not going to work. Or if the measuring guy like misses by a couple of inches, that's probably not going to work either. Or if the guy that's sawing the wood like completely like saws through it halfway and he like puts it up and it just breaks, and it'd be a bad problem. And so my point I'm trying to make is that each of you has a role to play in the process of building the deck. The job is not going to get finished unless you do what you're supposed to do. Well, in the same way, that's exactly what Paul is going to be telling us tonight in this scripture. He's saying that each of us have been given a unique role in the building of the body, the building up of the body of Christ. That's the church. Each of us have been given, each of you have been given a unique role in building up the body. Look with me at verse 7 in Ephesians 4. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. First point, if you're taking notes, each one of us has been given a gift of grace and a different measure of his gift. The first point, God has gifted the Christ follower. Let me ask you a rhetorical question. For those of you that don't know, that means you don't answer out loud or raise your hand. How many of you would say you're a Christ follower, right? If you're a Christ follower, I just said rhetorical, and y'all are like, oh, that's me. That's good, though. That's good. That's good that you're willing to defy me for that. That's really good, actually. I'm proud of y'all. But would you consider yourself a Christ follower? Well, if that's true, if your answer is yes, then God has given you a gift. He's given you a different measure of his grace. Does everybody remember when baby Jesus was born? Like, do we know the story? You know, when you know, in like the dirty cave with all the animal fecal matter. And it's you know, real dark, and then he gets put, you know, he gets to the world and he gets put in this like dirty feeding trough, like, but you know, the cute little nativity scene that we put out at Christmas, like, does everybody remember that? Like when Jesus is born. Well, what else happened in that scene is you got these wise men that come and bring him a bunch of what? Gifts, right? You got some of them bring gold, frankincense, myrrh, and they're all bringing him a different gift because they're saying, okay, this is the King of Kings, this is the Lord of Lords, we're bringing our best. Well, in the same way, Jesus has given the Christ follower a gift. And it's a different gift for each of you. It may be gold, it may be frankincense, it may be myrrh, but the point is that he's given each of you a different gift. Look at how he continues in verses 8 through 10. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive, and he gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. What Paul is doing right here is remarkable. Paul is taking Psalm 68, this is in your Bible, that may be bold, that lettering, it may be bold. That's a quote from the Old Testament. Paul is taking Psalm 68, verse 18, which was a victory psalm. It is a psalm for when you won the war, and it's like a celebration. Paul's taking that, and he's applying that to Jesus. It's remarkable. And we're going to talk about more of this tomorrow, but Paul actually doesn't quote that scripture the same as the Old Testament. If you go flip to the Old Testament and read Psalm 68:18, there's actually a couple of different words, and we're going to talk about it in the podcast tomorrow because we don't have enough time to talk about it tonight. But it's absolutely remarkable what Paul is doing. He's taking that victory psalm and he's applying it to Jesus, saying Jesus is the victor. I want to further explain this, and I think it's going to blow your mind. In the Old Testament times, I want you to think of this. In the Old Testament times, armies would go to battle. They'd go to war, and it was a lot different than what you think of with our war today. And once again, talking about this on the podcast tomorrow as well. They would go to war, and specifically for the Israelites, they would go pretty much conquer, let me put it like this, they would demolish anybody in their way that God had called them to pretty much war against. In fact, this is one of the things, and this is actually really interesting. I think you're going to like this. This is one of the things that God says to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 12. He's going to throw it up on the screen, or chapter 20, sorry. Chapter 20, he's going to throw it up on the screen. It says, this is God speaking to Moses, and this is Moses speaking to the Israelites. He says, when you approach a city, man, y'all really can't see that. Wow, that's small. Just listen. When you approach a city to fight against it, make an offer of peace. If it accepts your offer of peace and opens its gates to you, all the people found in it will become forced laborers for you and serve you. However, if it does not make peace with you but wages war against you, lay siege to it. When the Lord your God hands it over to you, strike down all its males with the sword. But you may take the women, dependents, animals, and whatever else is in the city, all its spoil as plunder. You may enjoy the spoil of your enemies that the Lord your God has given you. So the whole point I make with that is that when these Israelites, when they would conquer somebody, they would take all the spoil, all the plunder, and they would take it back with them. And literally to celebrate this victory, what they would do is a king would literally ride around the city, literally giving out that spoil to all the people. Like, just picture that. It's this king that's just won this battle. He's got all the gifts. He's received them. It's really cool. And he's riding around, and he's literally just giving them out. He's like, hey, you want a gold cup? You want a silver necklace? You want a knife? Here you go. Woohoo! And he's just giving them out. And coming back to the text, that's exactly what Paul is saying Jesus has done. Jesus as king, what does verse 9 and 10 say? It's this confusing, he descended, he ascended. Jesus as king descended to the earth, the word became flesh, and then he ascended into heaven, and what did he do? He destroyed death. He demolished it. He absolutely, death, where's your sting? Jesus leveled death. He destroyed the enemy, and you know what he did? He took the spoil, and he's giving it back out to his people. He's taking those gifts that he has received, and he's giving them out to his people. That's what Paul's doing right here when he's quoting Psalm 68 and applying it to Jesus. Like, what a powerful God we serve. And you know what the greatest gift that he took and he's giving mankind? Eternal life. He's giving the church all these gifts like we're about to see in a second, but the greatest gift that he's given is eternal life in him. All you have to do is repent and believe in the gospel, and that eternal life becomes a part of you. But coming back to the scripture, what Paul is saying is that each one of us have been given a different measure, a different gift, from the victorious Jesus who came to earth, live a perfect life, died, and rose again. And this is going to lead to my sub-point for point number one. Every Christ follower is unique in their gifting. So not only does God give gifts to his people, but every Christ follower is unique. Every Christ follower is different. It's kind of keeping that same frame of thought with the construction crew. The construction crew had everybody had different roles, but they all had one goal. Let's build the pool deck. It's the same thing. Every one of you has a different role, a different gifting. Every Christ follower is unique in their gifting. Look at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. This is the whole point. Jesus has given different gifts to different people. And we've talked about this before, but I'm gonna give you four scriptures that contain the complete list of spiritual gifts. And I would write these down, take a picture of this. We don't have time to go through these. Once again, I go through these in a podcast that's dropping tomorrow morning at 7. But these are the different passages where you and I can find a complete list of the different spiritual gifts that God has given. So the first one is Romans 12, 6 through 8. The next one is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. The next one is 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And then the last one's Ephesians 4, 11, the one that we've been looking at right now. Every single one of you has been given a unique gifting. Every single one of you. And it's not just talking about the people that get up here and sing. It's not just talking about the people that teach your Sunday school class. It's every single one of you have been given a unique gifting. And we need to be, this is where it's gonna start kind of applying to you. We need to figure out how God has gifted us and how He has called us. What He's gifted us with so that we can begin to serve Him, so that we can begin to build the body. Each of you doesn't need to figure out what someone else is called to. You need to figure out what you are called to, how you are gifted, not how somebody else is gifted, how God has gifted you specifically. Paul talks about this in multiple places. But one of the first places Paul talks about this, one of the more important ones, is 1 Corinthians 12. And in this passage, Paul's giving this illustration of a body. And he's saying the arm needs the foot. The eyes need the ears. The nose needs the ears. He's saying every part of the body matters. And let me just riddle me this, guys. If you woke up tomorrow and your left leg didn't work, would you be able to walk? No. And some of you are like, yeah, you could. No, that's not. No. That's what Paul's saying in this passage. He's saying every part of the body matters. And for you guys, you've been given a gift. God has gifted you, and you need to figure out what that gift is. And Paul's saying, hey, if each part doesn't function right, the body won't work. And you see, when he's writing in 1 Corinthians and he's writing to the church in Corinth, there's a pretty big problem because everybody wanted everybody else's gifting. Everybody wanted the gift that was the loudest. Everybody wanted the gifting that was the brightest and the flashiest. And Paul's literally going, hey, I'm rebuking you guys because you need to focus on your gifting. Every person was discontent in their gifting. They all wanted the better gifting. They all wanted what was the popular thing. And I think this hits home for us. I will be the first one to stand before you and admit that I struggle to sometimes want other giftings that I have not been given. Or even other circumstances that God has not put me in. Man, I see a guy preaching to the masses, or I see a guy that's standing up in front of these big crowds, I'm like, that would be sick. But the reality is, what if God has gifted me and called me to just be the youth pastor in Blackshear? And if I were to neglect that or undervalue that calling or that gifting that He has given me, it really shows how prideful I am. It really shows that I think I know what's best, and not that I think that God knows what's best. When I do this, I undervalue who God has called me to be, how He's gifted me, and you know what I do? And this, I want you to think about this. I idolize who I'm not. And that's a life of misery and discontentment. And that's the whole point of this. There's different giftings, and it's all for a reason. And each part has to play a specific role, and each Christ follower has been given a unique gifting. God has not given you a gift for yourself. He's not giving you a gifting to build up yourself. Your platform. Your image. God has gifted you for what He knows best. So then the question is asked, well, then why am I gifted? Why has God gifted me? What is my gifting then supposed to be used for? If it's not supposed to be for myself, and I have this unique gifting, what is it supposed to be for? And that's my second point. Your gifting is for the building up of the body. Your gifting is for the building up of the body, the bride, the church. That's why I'm so encouraged when there's students that come up here and want to sing for you guys and lead in worship. So I'm so encouraged when I have a Sunday school teacher or a kitchen staff that is so bought in. Because what they're doing is they're taking the gifting that God has given them and they're using it to build up the body. Look at verses 12 and 13. He's saying, and Jesus gave himself some of those people, pastors, evangelists, apostles, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Jesus Christ gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors to build up his body. He has given those gifts to his church for his church. And I want to preface, those gifts are actually church leadership, more of a church office gift. And I talk about this in the podcast tomorrow. And I hope some of you guys grow up to be a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist. But the reality is not every single one of you will. But regardless of if you're an average everyday Joe that just attends church or you're this preacher, we need to learn what it means to build up the body. And that answer has pretty much two sentences. This is how we exercise our gifting. And this is why we exercise our gifting. To promote unity with others. Your gifting is meant to promote unity with others and to grow others in their maturity with God. In other words, your gifting is used to promote oneness. Oneness with God and oneness with others. Some of you may have a different gifting than me. I may have a different gifting than you, but the giftings, God's not like, oh, you're better. Every one of those giftings is for one reason, to build the body, to grow others into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Look at verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Point number three, and this is my last point. The whole point of the gifting, the whole point of learning what your gifting is, exercising your gifting, it's to become like Christ. That's our goal, to become like Christ. So that, verse 14, we won't be a little child tossed to and fro like the waves. So that we would mature in our faith. Your goal in life is to play the role that God has called you to play. Because through the, look at verse 16, through the proper working of each individual part, we grow as one with each other and we grow as one with God. This takes you playing your role. Hey, you know what this takes? Humility, patience, gentleness, kindness, love, truth-telling. Like it takes, like that. Like that's the beauty of Scripture. It all makes sense. Like Paul is very strategic. The Holy Spirit was very strategic in how he's giving that to us in his word. Takes you playing your role just like the construction crew. We all had, remember guys, that when we started out, we all had different roles. Some of you were the go-getters. And might I add this, the go-getter was the favorite because the go-getter went and got lunch for everybody. And if we didn't get lunch from the go-getter, we were all mad. So the go-getter had a very important role. Even though he wasn't doing the, you know, sawing, and I'm going to be honest, I was the go-getter. That's why I'm telling y'all that. I was the little guy. I didn't know how to do anything. I still don't, quite frankly. So if you know anything about fixing houses, contact my wife, and we'll get that. Anyway, that's a story for another day. But the whole point of the gifting, the whole point of you as a Christ follower, it's for you to play your role. Whether you're the go-getter, whether maybe someday one of you is going to be a pastor and you're going to be preaching to the masses. Maybe someday one of you won't. And God's just going to call you to maybe disciple four or five people for the rest of your life. People that you work with, he just may be saying, hey, you just need to walk alongside them. Maybe you don't get to lead a ton of people to Christ. Maybe you only get to lead one or two people to Christ. You don't need to minimize the gifting that God has given you because you're idolizing what could be. Because that's the world that's being pushed on all of you, quite frankly, through TikTok and Instagram. That's what's being pushed on all of you. Be somebody. One of my friends wrote the song, and he goes, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody. I'm just a nobody. That is who you and I are. We are just a bunch of nobodies that God has given us a specific gifting in to build up his body. Like, what an encouraging thing that he wants us to be a part of that. And so as we end, there's one goal. There's one goal as the body of Christ, and there was one goal as the construction crew. The construction crew was build the pool deck, and the body of Christ is to build the body, to grow into Christ. And so as we end and we go to small groups, I want you guys to consider two things for me real quick before you begin packing up, so don't start packing up. I want you to consider two things. I want you to think of, where is your heart? Have you been, I want you to think about this in your life. Have you been somebody that has desired somebody else's gifting? Like, you have undervalued who God has made you to be because you want to be somebody else. Have you been focusing on doing what other people are doing or doing what God has called you to do? And if so, I want you to spend some time in repentance. And now some of you may need to accept the greatest gift of life, and that's eternal life in Christ. There is a king that won the battle. There's a king that won the battle, took the spoil, defeated the enemy, and he is giving you and he's offering you that gift of eternal life in Christ. And some of you need to take that gift. All you have to do is believe in him, confess your sin, and accept him. And so if that's you, we'd love to talk with you, whether it's a leader, me, my wife, or another student. But that needs to be talked about before you leave. So y'all pray with me and we'll go to small groups. Dear Lord, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for your word that we get to gather around. And Lord, because it's all about your word. It's not about what Philip has to say. It's not about a cool game or singing, Lord. It's about you and your word. So I pray that we would each individually lift you up in our lives. Lord, would you be honored in our time of small groups. In your name I pray. Amen.